I just want to share from my heart, I think, what something happened on Monday with Mr. and I in our living room. And the glory of God just consumed us. Really, it was a very short lesson right there that's where it dawned on me. God is a consuming fire, that I was just totally consumed and taken away with Him. Can I use this term? Swept off my feet. And so we just marinated in the glory of God. It's been a while since I lost sleep because of the glory of God and the intimate presence and the joy. And my mind was just running at a 500 miles per hour. And I woke up at 2:30. It took me quite a while to go to sleep. Normally, when my head hits a pillow, I'm out. I don't know anything until morning. But Monday night, I couldn't go to sleep. I couldn't shut down. And after that, it was because of what had happened in our living room. And Mr. and I were just blown away. And it did consume me. And I couldn't go to sleep. Finally did. Really didn't realize I went to sleep, but I found myself waking up at 2:30, and then I couldn't go back to sleep. So I got up, just had sweet fellowship with the Lord. I hadn't lost sleep because of His glory in a while. Sure did feel good. And my mind was just going 100 miles an hour. And there's no human words to explain to you what this week has been like. But I know not everybody's week was like that. But what I came to realize in this glory, part of what was involved in this revival, this moment of glory, in this presence of God, actually is a part of my whole journey. And as I'm sharing with you from Sunday to Sunday, an outflow, an overflow of what I'm seeing in God and in my journey with the Lord, and trying my best to verbalize what I'm experiencing in my heart is my greatest challenge. And I've been on the journey here with you a little bit on seeing the parables of Jesus really as He intended for them to be in the first place. Several things to remember, and I sound like a broken record when I say this, but His parables are not about us changing our behavior so that we will be accepted and loved of God and go to heaven. His parables most of them start with, what is the kingdom of God like? What is the kingdom of heaven like? The kingdom of God is like this. Jesus came preaching the kingdom. And so what He was showing was what He was doing in these hidden stories that He was giving, and it says there in Matthew that Jesus never spoke to the crowd, but what He used a parable. Now, they didn't clearly understand those. Some of them he expounded on, but often what would happen is when His followers, His disciples, then after He gave that parable to the crowd, then they would come back, Jesus and His disciples or followers would withdraw, and then they might ask Him, say, well, what does that mean? And so He would explain what the parable meant. And so we have talked about, not in detail recently, but the parable of the sower who went out to sow. And you remember the different ground, the types of soil that was there, and how the seeds that were thrown out there, how they grew, the different levels of response. Some on good ground grew up and multiplied. Some on stony ground grew up at first, but because it had no root, when the sun came, they withered. Others were among the weeds, and where the weeds grew, it choked out the good seed. Others by the wayside. All of those were different responses to the seed that was sown. And the same seed was given to all soils. The same seed given to all soils. God doesn't do anything partially. He does it fully. And the difference is their ability to receive. And I've said this for the last couple of Sundays. I want to say this again because I want it to be programmed in our heart and mind understanding that the kingdom of God is not about doing in order to get or to receive, but to just receive. That's how we receive the goodness of God, is simply by receiving. And so we see in these two parables. First one, the one of the sowers, they ask him what that was, and pardon me for hitting this point so much if it's become monotonous to you. But Jesus said, hey guys, if you don't understand the parable of the sowers, then you cannot understand all of the rest. If you don't understand that one, you can't understand all of the rest. Now, what was he talking about that? In the parable of the sower, Jesus is both the sower, the first sower that came. Jesus said, everyone who came before me was thieves and robbers. I am the sower. I'm the first one to sit on the face of the earth, stand feet on the ground, and begin to sow. And what was that seed? Was Jesus himself. He said that seed. Now, if we don't receive Jesus, then the rest of the kingdom is never going to make sense. Then we see, that was Matthew 13. Then we get down into Matthew 26. He's got this parable that we covered last week about the talents. And we discover that those talents are not our skills and ability in which we do the best with those, so that when God comes back, he gets a good return on his investment in us. And then if we don't do well, then it's cast out into the lake of fire or hell. No. Those talents, he told us in Matthew 13 what was given. When the master gave talents, one person received one, the other two, and another five. What were those talents? He said, here's what they are, Matthew 13. He gave you the ability to know the mysteries of the kingdom. That's what these talents are. Knowing the mystery of the kingdom. And I've said this last Sunday, but let me say this again, so it sinks down in our heart and mind, because this is absolutely what happened to Mr. and I on Monday. When he said he gives them the ability, he said he gave them to know the mystery of the kingdom. Let's look at that for just a little bit, is that there is a mystery. Mystery, you know, in our understanding is something unknown. It exists. There's evidence of it. We might be able to hear it, feel it, see it, but what is it? It's a mystery. That was what was up until the resurrection. What happened at the resurrection was that the mystery became known. That is, revealed. So what was Jesus saying to them, his followers? He said, it was given you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. So let me change those words. What Jesus was saying then was, it has been given to you to know these revelations of the kingdom of God. Go back to the talents. Since we know that these talents are the revelation of the kingdom, there is one. Now, both times, in both of these parables, Jesus made this statement. He said, to him who has, more shall be given. And to him who has not, what he does have will be taken away. Never did he ever say God would take it away. In the first parable, it said a bird came and took that seed away. So God did not say that he's taken something away. Somebody, you know, it's been a popular theology. I used to preach it. Use the talent God gives you, because if you don't, he's going to take that away. No, that's not what he's talking about. So he said, in these talents, one was given five. And then when his Lord came back, he come to and for an accounting and said, hey, look, I take these five that you gave me, and I have gained five more. Look at that. God gave him a degree of understanding the revelation, the secrets now known of the kingdom of God. Now, what's so good about these revelations? Remember? The first one, all of these in that parable, they were all servants. Look it up in the Greek, it's slaves. Slaves have nothing. They do not own. Notice how we need to get out of our Western thinking when we're hearing Jesus speak these parables and put ourselves at His feet, maybe dressed the same way. Imagine yourself with the kind of buildings that was back then. In other words, I'm saying, what did it sound like Jesus was saying then and there? So let's do that. So Jesus is speaking to these people and He says, the master gave the slave 1.8 million. We realize the talent was a weight of gold. And so the master gave the slave 1.8 million. Can you imagine what that must have felt like and what it sounded like to the original hearers? Whoa! What kind of a master is this? That he would give his slave 1.8 million. There's the first glimpse of grace in that parable. Then the one that received two talents. Using today's gold prices, what would it mean? 3.6 million. Oh my goodness. Can you get a sense of what that must have sounded like to those who... Wait a minute. What kind of a master is this? That he would give his slave 3.6 million? Now, if that wasn't enough, he also said he gave one of the others five talents, which was about $9 million in today's gold price. He is just blowing the minds of these people away that a master is giving a slave $9 million, giving it to him. And there was the one then that had received it. His view of the master was that, and in his accounting, you know, at the end, says, I viewed you as a hard man. I knew you as a hard man. Notice how the view that he had toward his master. And then he said something that the others didn't say. What did the guy do? He went out and buried his talent. Hear me now. You're probably interpreting this correctly now. He buried that revelation. Even though he had received, now you say, so God is playing favoritism because he gave one to one and two to another and five to another. It sounds like God is being partial. Absolutely not. Because in the same parable, Jesus said, and he gave to each one according to their ability. Ability to what? Do? Mm-mm. According to their ability to receive. So what are we to learn from this parable is that those who rejected Christ, that is the main revelation. That's the one that you need. And it is valuable. But that's where it starts. And when people reject Christ, that's what the one talent people are those who reject Christ. Take that revelation and bury it. All of those church leaders, the priests, the Levites, the rulers of the synagogue, the rabbis took that revelation was given to them and they buried it. Those others, the two and the five, who have received it with joy, then they said, look, we have gained two more. That would be like you saying, after you have received Christ, you didn't bury that one revelation, but upon that one revelation of Christ in you, the hope of glory, many more revelations are going to come to you about the glorious, priceless value treasures that are in the kingdom of God. And that's what happened to Mist and I this week. I'm going to tell you, I'm 55 years old. Mist is a couple years younger than me. But I can see myself going through the rest of this life at 90 years old, still stepping into new revelation of the kingdom of God. Would you agree with me that God is so vast that in my human experience, I could never discover the fullness of God? So, Stuff happens. When we receive Christ, the main revelation. And then he says, to him who has that revelation, more will be given to him. People are missing the priceless value and provision of the kingdom of God because they buried the first one. Let me tell you something. So I'm not ready. I'm not ready to share this next thing that Mist and I learned this week that just filled us with glory. It has had a tremendous impact on me this week. And it has pointed some things out in my life as to the reason that I am not experiencing in this life the abundant life that I know that God has for me. Has everything to do, guys, I'm telling you, has everything to do with the boundaries I've set in my heart. Has everything to do with the thoughts of my mind. Now, this is all plain. God is so magnificent. He is the architecture of my life and my journey. And I just, I'm about ready to run, okay? Because of what God is doing in here. And then Alicia, last Sunday I gave her my notes back here and they were 5 pages long. She said, these are 5 pages long. She asked me this week if she could share this video. She says, it's going to be 11 minutes. And I said, 5 pages long? But this is all God putting this together. Would you bring up the first stanza of that song? I think it was the first one. Ah. There is much more behind this than you see on those words. There is much more. Let me ask you, how was your week this week? How was your week this week? That says, I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. Hey, let me suggest this. Let's not focus on the devil. Let's not give him a place in our mind. Life has a way of doing that just because. So it's not just, the devil is our enemy, absolutely. But there are other things that are against us. Yeah, they're against us. But here's the thing, is that I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. Something is revealed right there. Something is revealed right there. When our world has fallen apart, when our job has fallen apart, when our family has fallen apart, it hadn't fallen apart, it's coming together. It's coming together. Because now, you are more positioned, better positioned to see the glory of God come through to you. And as the Lord told Paul, he said, in your weakness, I am made strong. So how did it go this week? Was there a person at your work that was a thorn in your side? Did everybody let you down? At the moment that you are feeling, there's really something right there. I'm trying not to say too much, but I've got so much to say, I don't even know where to go. God gives us the ability to change our feelings. God gives us the ability to change our feelings. So when things are not going well, our feelings are involved. This is what I'm beginning to see. Maybe I knew this a little bit in the past, but more and more it's becoming, hey, this is more, it's like the kingdom of saying, hey, see, this is bigger than you realize. is that of our feelings. And our feelings, God gave it. Would you agree that God created us with feelings? So there is a right way to use those and a wrong way to use those. Whew. Help me, Holy Ghost. Hold me back, mister. So this thing about feelings, I've misquoted the scripture so much in my life that we don't walk by feelings, we walk by faith, but the Bible doesn't even say that. You know, I'm going to follow God and I'm going to connect with God in every part of who I am, with my body physically, with my spirit spiritually, and with my soul emotionally. I'm going to connect with God in every way. This is what I'm beginning. The Bible says, this is incredible. Mister, this came to me during this song. I hadn't thought of it before. We're just going to have our own fellowship here for just a minute. Okay, hang on. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You know what infirmities were? It's people, it can include that, but it doesn't strictly mean sicknesses, it means weaknesses. Weaknesses. So I'm on the job and I know what has to be done. If it don't, at least that's my perception. I know what has to be done. And so when I work towards that goal and things are not happening like they should be, that's not smooth. God said, I am touched with the feelings of your weaknesses. How many of you have been frustrated and annoyed by the fact that the way things should be going ain't going that way, and it seems like it's beyond my control? And there's where our feelings are involved. And guess what? God's not saying, well, you just go ahead and handle that. You know what it does? In our weaknesses, God is drawn to our. You ever see your baby about fall and you catch him? You know, before car seats were a thing, some of you older remember, you know, you're driving up, you're the kid, huh? That was the car seat. That was a restraining strap. It's your mom's arm. Why? It's a natural reaction because you love your kids so much, you want to rescue them from harm. Our Father is just the same way. That in your weakness, He comes running towards you, not away from you. Can you imagine as a parent in those days, before the straps and the car seat restraint things, and you're going along there and you make a quicker stop, and your kid falls out there and he busts his head on there and he gets a bloody nose. And would you say to your kid, well, you shouldn't have done that. You should have been holding on. No, you stick your arm out there because, man, you love them. You don't want them to hurt. You are attracted by your very nature to their weakness. God is the same way. So when things are not going well, right there, it doesn't change God, and it doesn't move God. It changes me, and it moves me. There's more to this, friends. Mist and I just stepped into what we believe, another revelation. God has given us five, but I think we got another one this week. And I hope to share that over the coming weeks as I test this thing out. But some of you have suffered pain and anguish in your life. And those forces that are against you, don't forget. Some of those forces are not so much the devil himself, but our own thoughts. And one of those thoughts is, maybe God doesn't really care. Why didn't God step in at that moment? I certainly can't explain the past, but I can say this. Your life can take a major turn right now as you believe this truth, is that God is never going to harm you. He's never going to be mad at you. He's mad about you. Crazy mad about you. Let me just make a play on words. He's so mad at you. He's so mad about you. He's lost his mind. What I mean by that is he vacated heaven to take on a mind like us. And he reduced himself from an eternal God, although he was still God, but he took on the form of humanity to say have the same kind of organ up here. And then you know what he became? He became an organ donor. Gave us the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. So you have nothing but the greatest cheers from God our Father over you. And most, if not all, of the things that we face in life, the success of it, the going through it, I would say coping, I'm not so sure about that word, but overcoming, that's a good word. The thing here is that we're not looking to be an overcomers. We have already overcome in Christ Jesus. That kid, Dexter? Jackson, he was already healed, but the manifestation of it in his physical body was what they were desiring. See, you are already perfect. That's what Scripture says. Hebrews says, God has perfected forever those whom He has made holy. A few verses up above said, God made you holy by the sacrifice of His blood and His body. Hallelujah. It's a good thing, guys. This kingdom thing, be aware of what I feel like is the voice of the Holy Spirit to the church today. And that is, you are five talent people. You are five talent people. What was the parable of the soil? You have received that word and come up and multiplied 30, 60, 90-fold. Why? Because you fully have accepted Christ. Now He has an inexplainable, indiscoverable realm of revelation for Him us to understand till the day we go be with Him, whatever. I want to pray with you, and then we're going to have a baby dedication. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, and we thank You for Your loving kindness, O God. Lord, thank You that we have the ability, as You planted in us Yourself. You have planted in us Yourself. And with that is the secret, the mystery of the rest of the revelation of the kingdom of God. Thank You, Father, for Your goodness to us. Oh Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Church, I learned just a little bit better in this early part of the week what being thankful does. I've preached on that, but I'm getting a better revelation, a more clearer revelation of its result. So I want you right now to join with me. Thank God. Thank God for whatever is on your heart, comes to your mind. As you begin to thank Him for what He has done and what you have, then even more thoughts of thankful things. You'll begin to do things like, thank God for your pet. Cool. Really? He poops on my floor. But then when we have an attitude of thanksgiving, it does something on the inside of us. Oh, hallelujah. Let's thank God for what comes to your heart and mind right now. Thank You, Father. Yes. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.